Welcome to Lending a Hand with your host, Keaton Lender.
Welcome to the show, brother. We are live.
And live.
Well, kind of live. I'm going to go live on Facebook here in a minute, see if we can get some questions, but we'll wait till the end of the show for that.
I love
questions. Coming on, man.
Not a problem, brother.
I love questions too, man. I'm super happy I finally convinced you to come on here to Lending a Hand and on the podcast. I'm super pumped to have my boy Zach Green on here, former roommate, best friend, and ally in the world. Zach, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Apparently, I'm an ally in the world, first of all.
Of course, we're all allies.
Yeah. So, yeah, my name is Zach. I live in the Houston Metroplex, Texas, obviously. Just north of Houston, downtown. Maybe a 38-mile drive to the downtown Metroplex. And it could take 38 minutes. It could take 2 hours. It depends on the day.
That's Houston.
And it depends on what hour of what day and how much people want to shop. So, you know, usually the first of the month, it's pretty busy out there.
Okay. Quit telling the people about your driving schedule. Who are you? Because you don't even drive a lot, if I know. You're a pilot. You be flying. So let's talk about that a little bit.
I would say I fly a lot further than I ever drive. I live probably 5 minutes from where I work. I chose this place because of that reason, because I was tired of driving. But yeah,
hey, are you still with Grandma Green?
Do what?
Are you still with Grandma Green?
Oh no! That was during training. I finished training, and I live in Conroe by myself, which is great.
Nice.
Love my grandmother, but she had 5 cats, and it got quite hairy.
Old Victor, where's he at? That was our cat, everybody. Victor, if you don't know,
Victor is. He is with my parents in Lufkin, Texas, which is just an hour and a half northeast of here. But he has a better home there. He gets to go outside and not get crushed by, you know, someone.
He's got a better home.
But, yeah, he's got a better home there, and he's chill out there. But, yeah, I'm Zach. I'm originally from California, the Golden State. I lived in Los Angeles from 1991 until about 2000 when I moved to East Texas. Both my parents are from East Texas and, you know, wanted us to acclimate to the society here and get to know our grandparents. So they decided to make a move. So I moved there in Lufkin, Texas, which is deep East Texas.
Deep East Texas, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've gone to Houston from where you live, you've most likely have gone through Lufkin and didn't even know about it. It's a small town.
These off. We're on Facebook Live. I'm going to take these off so people can hear you talk, too.
All right, not a problem. Lufkin is a quaint town, and it's full of rich people. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about rich in heart. Very good people live there. So I was accustomed to, you know, good friends and a good culture there. So I'm proud to say I'm from there, even though I was really born in Los Angeles. But I met Keaton in Northwest Arkansas. I went to the University of Arkansas on an academic scholarship for architecture, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that feel like yesterday? Shoot.
Yeah. Wow. At one point in time, I was a good student, academic student. And at one point in high school when my parents made me. But, you know, I went to University of Arkansas. I didn't really like school, to be honest with you. School, I didn't learn anything that kept me up at night. And what I mean by that is nothing I learned up there excited me. And not to say that University of Arkansas doesn't offer great education. It does. It's in the Carnegie Hall of Academics. But it was just nothing I was learning, and I just wasn't interested in school, to be honest with you. I just really wasn't. It wasn't for me, and that's that. But in 2013, I had been there for 3 years. I think I actually lived with Keaton.
You think? We definitely lived together, bro. You don't if you don't remember the whole year we lived together, I don't know, man. You've been we've been drinking a few too many beers on the show then.
I don't know if it was beers or it's just all the stuff that's happened in my life recently. But yeah, we lived on Greenleaf together in a house.
Don't be telling people around.
There's a pretty cool atmosphere. Right here now. Cool.
What's up?
Somebody said what's up?
Yeah, Alex Johnson, one of my good friends, he was like, yo, what y'all talking about? Well, we're going to get into it. We're just chatting a little bit about being a pilot and, you know, the goods, the bads, the interesting stories I'm sure Zach has to tell us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm just getting a little background information. I lived in Arkansas for 8 years. I lived there from 2010 to 2018. I lived there 3 years into it. My family and I took a vacation to the Grand Canyon. It was my first commercial flight ever. And the moment that the full power of those Rolls-Royce turbines and the 737 went to full power on the runway and I still thrust back in my chair with 100 people on board, it was like, this is exactly what I want to do. I remember landing in Phoenix. I looked over at my dad and I said, I want to be a pilot. He laughed at me because I was currently in college at the time.
I bet he did. I love your dad. So
yeah,
realistic.
He laughed at me. He said, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
But how's he doing, by the way, right now? How's he doing, really?
He's great. You know,
love cool your dad. He's a preacher, everybody. Good
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, my dad's a minister in East Texas. Very conservative gentleman. Also a very compassionate gentleman.
Very much so. I love that about your father, man.
Yep.
The two times I've met him when we were in college, nicest guy, seriously.
Yeah, he is a very nice person, inside and out, obviously. You know, I know my dad pretty well. I'm pretty much a mirror image of him in many ways. You know, but he's doing great. Cool thing about my dad is he's very concerned about his health. So I think he could run a marathon right now and be okay at the end of it. He does P90X every day.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's been doing it for 8 years. Every day. Yeah. Dude is fit.
Dude, I mean, he's in good shape, but I didn't know he was doing P90X over there.
You know, you think East Texas, you're like, oh, they probably got a trucker hat, some starched jeans, boots, and a beer in their hand. But no, my dad is a hipster, man. My dad has some David Beckham haircut, acrylic glasses. I mean, they don't have the frames. You can see through the frames. Wears skinny jeans and Vans and a throwover button-down shirt over a T-shirt. I mean, the dude is hipster. But he's also a minister, which doesn't make much sense. His beard, by the way, is totally white, and his hair is totally white now. His beard goes down to the middle of his chest.
He's got a beard now?
Oh, he's got a long beard.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
He's got a large beard. And the last time I talked to him, I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks. I was like, Dad, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to gather up my nuts here and hide them in your beard for winter. It's so long.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, he's doing great. My mom's doing great. My brother is a father now, believe it or not. He had his kid in November. So I am a uncle.
I know. Curious question. Because I see all my friends getting married. One of my best friends has two kids. I'm a godparent. You know him. Another one of my friends just got married last June. And I'm the last to get married. I know you're in a relationship right now, which is great. Happy for you. Man, did you ever think you'd be the last one to get married or have kids? I didn't.
Let's just put it this way. I was never the person to think about it. I'm not perturbed in any way or fashion that I'm the last. I didn't think I would be because I'm the first in my family to be born. I mean, my immediate family. And, you know, the natural clause is because I'm first, I am first, you know. So that means I should be the first to do everything. But I'm not zealous. I mean, no, I'm sorry, not zealous, but jealous of anything that my brother's accomplished. Very accomplished young man. And he has an excellent wife. They just bought their first home in Katy, Texas.
Dude, that's Katy, yeah, Texas?
Katy, Texas.
Man.
Katy, Texas. It's actually on the outskirts of Houston as well. It's on the western outskirts of Houston. It's actually a really big city.
I've never been to Houston. I've passed through there on going to like Cancun or Mexico or something. I've never actually like toured the city. Never been to a Rockets game or anything like that. I need to come down there this year once the COVID ends.
Once COVID ends,
Houston's. Hey, I got a quick question because I'm curious. I'm gonna ask you.
I have a quick answer.
So, what have you been doing to? What has changed, if anything, for you as a pilot? During the coronavirus, during all this?
Okay, well, yeah. I'm a flight instructor first. That's my first job.
So basically you teach people how to fly, right?
I instruct people how to become competent, proficient, and safe pilots.
Does that require sitting in the cockpit with them?
Absolutely. Inches from the shoulder. I mean, we're talking about Cessna 172 that these kids learn on. You can go research it on your own time. It's a general aviation aircraft. It weighs less than your car does.
That's wild. I know you told me. I was like, nah, I'll pass until you get a higher grade, and now I'll go, and then I'll go.
Yeah. So it's a metal tin can, and it's traveling twice as fast as your car as well.
Shit. Scary.
There's a lot to go into it, that's just one of the many faces that I have when I go to work every day. I'm not only a flight instructor now, I got promoted. But, COVID-19 did take a hit on the aviation industry. If you were paying attention to the news, the Trump administration had to bail out, aviation business, $500 billion. I mean, it's a large.
Was it $500 billion?
$500 billion or something and over a certain. Yeah, $50 billion something. That's five something. A lot of money got filtered into the. I might be wrong about the actual figure, but it was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people stopped traveling. As a result of it, so the airlines, they trickle down. They have a trickle down effect. When people see that, do they really want to spend $85,000 to $100,000 learning how to fly when there's no guaranteed job at? So, I was worried at first.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I want to really go narrow. And we talked about this before, the 5-10 minutes we were talking before we were on the air. And for everybody that's on Facebook Live, like, feel free to ask questions. I've asked you guys if you want to come on camera, feel free. But one thing with COVID, I don't believe this, but travel maybe lower historically than it's ever been, but I don't believe that it will stay. It is. I don't believe that it will stay that way, especially with flights in the future, because I believe that people want to travel. People want to get around. They want to see the world. And feel free to let us know, everybody here on Facebook Live, Zach Green, pilot for, who is that again?
U.S. Aviation.
U.S. Aviation. Answer your questions if you have any, but I think that's really, really important and interesting how travel will happen more or happen differently moving forward.
I think you can dumb it down even to a simple, into its real simplicity, Keaton. You're talking about a broad sense of travel, but any aspect of life that you restrict somebody from being able to do what they really want to do, once that restriction bypasses, is they're going to take advantage of that lifted restriction. You know what I mean? That might be somebody that has, a different facet or a different, way of doing life. But for aviation, that you're talking in a broad sense, and travel, even broader than that, is, we've restricted a lot of people for a long time on travel now. What, 4, 5, 6, almost 6 months going on. I mean, it really started, the pandemic started well before it came to the United States.
Before January, and it was really February before it came here.
Yeah, so we're talking, you know, we're eclipsing the five-month mark on this pandemic associated with the restriction of travel. And
I got to interrupt you real quick. The probability that the Earth is flat, that's my boy Dean. The probability that Earth is
flat, I can tell you it's nil.
Zero! Dean, get on camera right now. I'm bringing you on. If you want to come on here, you can gladly. No, it's zero. Come on, Dean. I know you don't believe that. Dean Marks, one of my boys. He helps me with the podcast and everything. He said, what's the probability that it's flat?
It nil.
Nil. I agree. Come on, y'all. Go to space.
Well, yeah, that.
You're in space, kind of, Zach.
I mean, no, not really.
You're about 35,000 feet up, though. What's the highest you've been up? And I don't mean that, like, metaphorically. I mean feet-wise. Right.
Well, in a general aviation aircraft, 13,000 feet, but in a commercial, 41,000.
Can you jump out of something that's 13,000 feet? Just curious.
Absolutely.
So my girlfriend wants to take me skydiving for my birthday. I'm a little nervous, Sydney. A little nervous.
Yeah. Well.
Any idea? What should I do?
You shouldn't be nervous about that. I think there's people.
I am.
I mean, are you nervous about driving your car?
Good point.
Are you nervous about leaving your door open at night?
Oh, I love it, bro.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. Driving the car, because statistically speaking, more people die in traffic accidents than plane accidents. Not even close.
But the person that's on the other side of that argument that looks at it objectively would say a lot more people drive than fly. So that argument's kind of flawed in this beginning. I think there's dangers in what I'm trying to get to is the basic. There's dangerous aspects of anything that you do in life, period. There's a danger in me taking a fucking bath at night. You know, there's a danger associated. There's a risk.
You get nervous in the bath.
Well, I get nervous when I have gas in the bath, but.
Yes, this is the good content we needed for this podcast, son. This will be on YouTube tomorrow, everybody. You can check this out.
that infamous, is that a fart or is it shit, really comes to play in the bathtub.
Dude, yeah, that's why I don't take baths. You know, showers only.
Yeah, well, you know, I only take showers because I don't have time to take a bath. It takes 15 minutes to draw the damn water. And anyway, yeah, so there's dangers in all aspects of life. I don't think you should be nervous about – oh, well, maybe you should be anxious about skydiving. You're dropping, free-falling from high altitude, but, you know, there's trained personnel that handle that on a daily basis. So,
yeah,
about that.
I know that a lot of people – and we talked about this right before we came on the show, and this is why I'm asking you just a bunch of questions, bro. Like – I think a lot of people want to know what it's like to be a pilot. They want to know what it's like to be in the cockpit. They want to know what it's like to be in the action, seeing that beautiful view that you do. You literally sent me a Snapchat. I don't know if the FDA is going to get upset with me saying that, but you literally sent me a Snapchat of you flying. I'm like, that is so tight, bro. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, hey, I got a selfish question, because I've always told you this from day one. Like, people, you're a pilot. It's almost part of who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that, Zach. It's part of who you are, man.
Sure.
What do you think I need to do more of to show people who I am? Like, honestly, no, you can be as mean as you want. Like, just get to the nitty-gritty. I don't mind.
Well, I think you're doing it right now. I mean, I don't think there's a specific thing that anybody needs to know to prove to somebody else who they are.
I get a lot of hate. I get a lot of love, but I get some hate too. Like, there's a general rule about 10% of the people that follow you. I'm looking at you, Facebook, Instagram. You get haters from that. And those haters, like this week, I've gotten a few messages. I hate it. People are just hating. Like, I'm not even going to go into it, but.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I don't think your goal should be everybody love me. I think your goal should be honest with yourself.
Listen to that, everybody. Listen to that again, everybody. Your goal should not be for everyone to love you, but just to be yourself. Bro,
yeah, just
be
honest with yourself.
Powerful. Powerful.
No, I think that's the goal. That it should be your goal. And whatever you do, whether you're being a lawyer, or whether you're being a police officer, whether you're a teacher, it goes on in all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, in my opinion, feeble at that, but still my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense, man. I 100%. That's why we're friends. That's why we vibe. That's why we get along, is we both, I feel, understand that. Be yourself. Yeah. Unapologetically be yourself.
Yeah. To some extent, I agree with you. There are some times when being yourself is also being an asshole, and you should apologize for it. But.
Dude, yeah. But, which I have been. Guilty. You know it. Yeah. You've seen it. You live with me for a year. You know it.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is being yourself doesn't excuse you to be a freaking asshole to somebody. You know, it doesn't excuse you to be that way.
Yeah.
What I mean by being yourself is being honest with yourself is do what you love to do on a day in and day out basis. And whether somebody likes that or hates it is, you know, not important. It's just not, because it doesn't matter what you do. You could be the president of the United States, but there's going to be somebody that hates it, right?
Of course.
We'll just ask them.
Yeah. That might be a bad example on the podcast here on Lending a Hand, because I think everybody right now hates the president of the United States.
Well, you could be a doctor, and people are going to hate you for it. There's going to be people that disagree with your ethics and disagree with how you do something or what you decide to do in a situation, whether you're in the field or not. Just be honest with yourself and, make the best moral and ethical decision that you can every day and every situation.
Yeah. Man.
Whether you rely on an ethics code that's derived from a subjectivity or whether you rely on an ethics code that's already given to you like I do, that's your prerogative. But either way, you know what's good and wrong. And just be honest with yourself in that. Is this a right thing to do, or is this the wrong thing to do?
Okay, so I got to ask you, and I'm not saying put your whole opinion out there, but with everything that is going on in the world, with COVID, with the BLM movement, which is amazing, like, how – I put a post on Facebook earlier today. I don't know if you saw it. It was about the Black Lives Matter. I was like, here's how to handle your black colleagues. First, ask them what you can do. Number one thing, just ask what you can do for them to help accommodate. But what are your opinions, thoughts, perspectives on like where we're going in society with everything that's going on right now? And I know this is such a touchy subject, man. So be easy with how we say it, but what do you believe? Because I know we're two privileged white men, in all honesty, to grow up in America. Like, how do we handle that? And I've had this conversation with several of my African-American friends, but what do you believe?
What do I believe about what? I think you've asked me a broad question that could go
meant to. I meant to.
But in specific... For specifics, I would need you. What do you feel about this instance? So what do you mean?
So obviously, we all know that equality is so important, and we don't get equality in this world. But there's other conversations I think that aren't ready to be had yet, and I would be interested to learn anybody's point of view on Facebook or on Zoom. If you want the Zoom link, me and Zach will send it to you, whatever. But I would love to learn the conversations. What interests me is the conversations that we have to have moving forward to grow, because those are going to be the hard ones, you know? And I'm not saying we have to have those right now. I don't know how to have those, if in all honesty. But expand on that. What do you think?
I think we're making it way more complicated than it ever had to be. Yeah.
You hearing that, everybody?
It's simple.
Yep.
Treat others the way you want to be treated, no matter their skin color, no matter their demographic, no matter where they're from. Period. You know how you want to be treated.
Well,
do it to others. You don't want to be treated like you're a thug. You don't want to be treated like you're a criminal. So don't treat people like that. That's simple.
I believe that's a positive thing. You have to have this mindset of like, nobody's going to hurt me. People are going to be positive. People are going to be accepting of me. Do you believe you have to have that mindset? Because I'm a firm believer that the problem is, it is equality. We need equality in this world, but we also need people that are understanding that mental health is so big right now, man. Like, look at all the people. You have the haves, and this might come out wrong, this might come out insensitive, but you have the haves and you have the have-nots. And it really does seem like the have-nots are the people that are rioting and looting the streets. That doesn't mean race. That just means people that don't have something compared to do. And I think that's a problem. Personally, we need to fix. Like, does that make sense to you?
Are you referring to the context of mental health, though?
Yes, what? I am. Yes.
So what are you inferring? That
mental health... emotion.
People that have more health issues related to mentality are more
yeah.
susceptible or prone to making ill-advised decisions than others?
Yes, I am. Because when you don't have control over that dome of yours, this big thing up here above the neck, you know, you will say things that you don't mean, hence DT, old DT, President DT, and or because he says things I believe he doesn't mean. He just he types them, he tweets them, he puts them on Facebook. I don't believe he.
I disagree with you.
That's fine.
I disagree with you. I think he says exactly what he means, and I think there's people behind the scenes saying you should not say these things.
Oh, okay, right. I get what you're saying. Yeah. That could ruffle some feathers with some people here, which I'm interested if anybody's watching to not like.
There is nothing that I hold a grievance against any president of the United States, because it's a tough job, no matter if it's Obama, no matter if it's Donald Trump, no matter if it's Franklin D. Roosevelt. It's a hard job, no matter the aspect, no matter the year.
Especially now, because all eyes are on you. You cannot please everyone. And let that be a lesson to everybody that's watching, listening. You cannot please everyone. It's impossible. So what that means is you're going to formulate your own opinion, whether you like Donald Trump or not. And I'm not advocating for him. I actually am not a big fan of Donald Trump. I think that the one really good thing he's doing is showing us what you just said, Zach, is that people may be trying to control him behind the scenes, but he's still being himself. Here's the problem. I do believe that the things he says, he may not understand what they mean to other races, but to other races, it is wrong for him to say that. And that's a political conversation, but I believe personally that
when it comes down to it though, Keaton, I mean, mental health or not, when it comes down to it, the people that have the ability to make decisions that, let's just put it this way. People that do not have mental health issues, they can decipher a daily decision, right? But those people should treat those with mental health issues, again, still the same as they'd be treated, okay? And I think
equality.
I don't think someone with a mental health issue is, in all instances, restricted from being able to feel. I don't think that at
Agreed.
All.
Agreed. Yeah.
I've been around a lot of younger generation mental health issues. Remember, I did change my degree to psychology, and I did volunteer my services to Ozark Guidance Center for quite some time. And I've dealt with people with drug issues. Everyone has, you know, and that's its own mental health issue. But I think the people that can decipher right from wrong should be able to look inside themselves and decipher and be able to, you know, just be honest with themselves. Am I treating this person the way they need to be treated? And if they are, I think that will eventually, if people were actually able to do that, you know, and actually thought that way, that would create an atmosphere into one of these people that do not have the mental aptitude to make decisions that are right or wrong. Eventually it will reflect on them. Mm-hmm. You know,
as Gary Vee
would say, I don't think they're restricted. I don't think the majority of mental health issues or people with mental health issues are restricted from feeling. And what I mean by that is restricted from knowing what they feel. And if they're treated incorrectly, I think that will reflect on them. And it will reflect only one way. The only way it can reflect from coming inward is outward.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so, very well articulated, Zach. Seriously, man.
Because that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, yeah, you can, you and maybe other people that may have the opinion that the people that cause riots or that cause other situations might have mental health issues. They are reflected on. And they have their own reflection of something. But it's primarily the way we treat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not because of the way they treat us. You know what I'm saying? There is no doubt.
Just so everybody's clear, Zach is not saying the way we treat African Americans is the way they treat us. That's not what Zach is saying, y'all.
What I'm saying is we should treat them the way we want to be treated.
Exactly. That's a kindergarten principle. Like, treat others how
it's
would like.
It's the golden rule. It's the golden rule. You learn it early on. 100%. But there's often things that we learn that we never really articulate.
Dude, it's a freaking skill. The more and more I use this freaking microphone right here to articulate what goes from my dome to my mouth, the more humility I have, because I understand I'm okay, and some would say I'm good at talking, but I don't believe I'm great at it, because I can't completely articulate what we're all thinking. You know, we all think different thoughts. We all have a different position.
Yeah. But back to your matter of writing and things like that, I do think it's a reflection of how we treat, not white people treat anything, but I'm saying other people have treated them in their life. Period. Well, it doesn't matter their skin color.
Your experiences do kind of mold you and
you are. I mean, yeah, you're a whole of what have you experienced.
What experiences have molded you? I'm curious about that, because I know we only got a few more minutes here, and I've got one or two more questions I want to ask you. But sure. What experiences have molded you, man, to make you into this pilot, this really good guy, this really good Christian guy who practices what he preaches? Because I've been around you for years, and you do that. You do practice what you preach, and I respect that. So what do you believe has molded you into that?
Well, I think it firstly has to involve the way my upbringing.
Dude. Okay?
And I want to bring up that point. I want to bring that point up because.
Yes, sir. Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
A lot of people, have this, preconceived notion that everyone was brought up the same damn way, but they're not. Okay. They're not. Period. End of story. If you need proof of that, go in the projects in Chicago. Not everybody.
I watched the Michelle Obama documentary last night, Becoming. Woo! I'm going to name drop something. Watch that, everybody. It is unbelievable.
But I am humble and self-aware enough to say that I'm not a perfect human being. You know, there's many times that I do make mistakes. And, you know, becoming a pilot was a personal choice because I enjoyed it. But I think what has evolved me into thinking the way I do is experience, number one. The way I was brought up, I guess that's number one. Number two is experience. Number three, I really think aviation changed my life entirely. Because
why was that? Why do you think aviation changed your life?
Well, I think what I've learned in the cockpit, you know, had a trickle down effect into my emotionality. Just for instance, you're at the controls of something that can affect not only your life, but if something were to go wrong, it can affect multiples. So you treat it with care, right? Mm-hmm. You treat it with care. You treat it with safety in mind. You treat it with reverence. Not reverence in sort of in a matter like revered by a person, but with respect. You treat the thing with respect, because if you don't respect it, it controls you. So what I've learned in the cockpit is that, number one, there's multitudes of things in life, period, that I cannot control. All right? Like, for instance, to put it in an analytical term or an analogy, right? Sorry, I've had two beers of 16 ounces.
Yeah, two Coors Lights, everybody. He's pretty fucked up, y'all. Yeah, we can say fuck on the podcast, by the way, and on Facebook Live, for that matter.
Yeah, well, I'm a pilot. We're not allowed to drink much.
Ever? But, you're not flying tonight, are you? Then you're good.
No, but tomorrow morning I am, and the regulation at 0.04%, which is less than half of what you...
But you've had 2 hours of sleep at least, because like an hour, they say, takes off.
Yeah. 8 hours. That's actually the regulation. 8 hours prior to...
For one drink?
Being in control of the airplane, you have to...
You didn't know. I didn't know. That's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I think what I've learned in the cockpit has trickled down. What I mean by that is the uncontrollable aspects of life. For instance, the first time I ever really had to deal with bad weather. All right, bad weather. I was out flying. And I learned a lot about myself, number one. And number two, about, you know, dealing with what's uncontrollable, but also planning for what's uncontrollable. Okay, so number one, I found myself in training, not after training, flying into a situation that I should never have flown into. Okay, number one, I flew 150 nautical miles, which is about 175 regular miles. What's that? I can't see it.
That's just my phone. People are asking questions, commenting here.
So I flew that direction, and the weather forecast was great. But if you know anything about Texas, the weather can change in 5 minutes. It's a lot like Arkansas. So anyway, I was caught into this situation without an instrument rating. I was pretty much in a thunderstorm area.
Uh-huh.
And I found eventually a place to land, but I was so not in control of the aircraft. The weather was controlling me. So what I learned from that aspect many years afterward, you know, is that there's things that are going to happen in life that I can't control, but I can certainly control the way that I react to it. Okay.
100%, bro. 100%.
You know, but that's within my control. What I cannot control, if you bring up BLM, for instance, is the fact that people are doing these things and people are rioting and people do disparage between black and white and people do hate other races for whatever reason they decide to hate. Don't agree with them, but they do. But what I can control is how I react to it. And how I react to it, I'm not going to go up to a black man and then treat him with difference. I'm going to treat him how I normally would. Mm-hmm. And how would I treat myself? Like nothing has happened.
And that's the right move. You just...
It comes down to, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're a man of color. I'm a man of no color, as they see it. But I'm still of color, you know? In the eyes of different...
You're pretty damn white. You're pretty pale. Anybody pretty watching on YouTube, yep. Zach's a pretty pale ass. He doesn't mean that, though. He doesn't mean that.
You know, I have wider legs than most of you have white walls.
I've seen them. We won't make you show them right now. For God's sakes, please do not blind us.
I certainly won't. I wouldn't treat anyone of color any different than I would treat you.
And I know that for you, from you and being around you and knowing you, man.
But you that's not because of all because of the way I was raised. It's because of self-awareness. Because I decided to look inside myself and reflect upon that. How do I want to be treated every day? Mm-hmm. How do I want to be looked at every day? You know?
Man, that's what excites me so much. Sorry to cut you off. That's what so excites me about what's going on in this world right now is we've had like 50 people jump on and off the Facebook, but I'm really excited to see right now. Unfortunately, it goes both ways. It's a double-edged sword. Right now, we're going through a time where because we have everything recorded, even this conversation, Zach, that people are going to judge you, judge me, judge us, and
judge accordingly. Judge accordingly, but I hope you judge based on what you hear as the truth.
Yes,
because I wouldn't be getting on Facebook Live or wherever else. It's just or wherever else, and speaking from anywhere else but my heart. But
and I believe it, man. I do.
You know, there are people that fabricate. Don't get me wrong. But I do not. Of course, there will be people say, well, you could be saying that and fabricating. Well, you know, you don't know me.
Well, yeah, we can't go down that path, though, because you could be saying this.
It's just another form, just in a different way of discrimination.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I hate for people of white and black color and other colors associated that we're having to go through this. But I can guarantee you that we needed to.
Yeah, we'll come out better from it. I believe that.
Yeah, you know, we needed to. I do. Because either it's going to do two things, right? It's going to divide us or it's going to make us better. Mm-hmm. And I'm really praying in my personal way of dealing with things. I'm really praying it does the latter, and it makes us better.
It will, man. I'm such a believer. Like, you see these things, like, are you on the right or the wrong side of history? And I believe that we are both on the right side of history. We're looking for change. We're looking for equality. We're looking for peace, love, happiness. And I believe, I really do, man. I cannot, that in the end, intent. Have you heard that Justin Bieber song, Intentions? You heard that one?
I don't
blame you for it because it's JB, but dude, it's the truth, man. It's like intentions are everything.
Okay, I think you both and I know that I don't listen to normal ass music. I listen to the stuff that no one else wants to listen to.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know.
You know.
I got one more question for you, and then I'm gonna let you go because I know it's getting a little late. We gotta get you out of here. But what's it like being a pilot? Like, seriously, just
what is it like being a pilot? Man, again, broad question. I think it's
doing on purpose.
You know, what's it like being a pilot? It's challenging. I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's demanding. It certainly teaches you diligence. But what is it like?
Yeah.
The ultimate likeness.
A bird, a plane. Bird.
A bird, man. Yeah. I would say it's something free. It's something about freedom.
Can anybody do it? Like, is it, do you have to have actually like a, obviously you have to have steady hands, but do you have to have a skill to be a pilot? And that sounds silly because I know you have skills. You have to have
skill set that's required in
calmness. Yeah, you have to, but
okay,
I know a lot of people.
Okay, let's think back to 2010. I was not always a calm individual. Okay. But it does require a certain skill set. But you know, I've watched people that knew nothing about carpentry and become a carpenter. So I think it's true that somebody that doesn't know anything about flying can become a pilot. Now, with that said, it's fun. It's becoming a pilot is more fun than anything else I could have ever imagined doing with my life.
Yeah.
But I can definitely tell you this, the work it takes to get there is demanding. All right.
I've seen it.
So what's it like being a pilot? It's freedom. But you really feel effect of that freedom because of the work that you put into it. Hey, and that trickles down. It's more.
That might be one of the most profound things I've ever heard on this podcast. I swear to you, that might be one of the most profound things I've ever heard. Yeah. Because you're right. Like anything in life,
in order to really feel and be able to celebrate freedom, you gotta work for it.
Gotta.
You got to. Because what's freedom really feel like if it's just given to you? You know? And I don't mean like free as in what United States Constitution says what freedom and defines freedom.
Freedom in your work, freedom to go to work every day, your job, your career, to do what you want to do day in and day out.
I'm just saying like freedom as in, but I don't mean like constitutional rights. I mean freedom.
No, you don't.
I mean like freedom, like releasing anxiety. Like the bricks that hold us down are really not ever, they couldn't ever have been from a government. It's really within yourself.
That's so good, man. That's so good.
Yeah. It's just what weighs you down is what you think about at night, you know? And that's what anchors you to this earth-like and robotic, monotone way of living life. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's your own mind, and make no mistake about it. And it requires work to unleash those chains, and it requires work to brush off the bricks, and it requires work to really understand and know what freedom is like. And that's what aviation has always been to me. I did the work, and I'm doing what I love to do, and it really encompasses freedom to me.
Dude.
That's what it is.
That's so well said, man. I really believe I can hear your words, the way you articulate it from here to here, and I get it. That means a lot. That's why we're boys. That's why we're best friends. That's why we've been around each other for years. 8 years, I think, going now. Big time notes. Like, appreciate it, Zach. Like, seriously, I know that people will gain value out of coming on here and listening to this and watching this, but I hope, like I said, before we got on the air, I was like, my whole goal was to convince you. So if you like this podcast, everybody, go and give us a review on Apple, give us a review on Spotify, because my whole point was to convince Zach to make his own pilot podcast, so to speak. I think people will listen to you so much, man. I do. I think people will gravitate towards you being a pilot. And I know that you want to talk about that. So appreciate
you. Yeah, I love talking about a pilot. I love talking about multiple things.
You do. You're a multifaceted guy. And you know what? I will guarantee you that I'm going to have you on the show again soon, because I want to see what people will say from this in a week or two. And what the questions we get back on, like, you know, from you, from me, because I'm fully convinced that you will love to do this. Like, not just talk in front of a microphone like this stupid ass thing or whatever, but share ideas, because it can help people. And that's the whole point behind podcasting or behind putting yourself out there on the internet. I really believe that it's to help others. And I know you have that in mind. So
sure.
Well, thank you for coming on. Hey, where can everybody find you? Like, are you an Instagram guy? Are you a Facebook, Twitter?
I'm not a social media.
I know you're not, but where can they find you? If they want to get a hold of you, where can they find
you? I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram, and I do have Snapchat, but that's basically it.
That's Zach Green, though. Z-A-C-G-R-E-E-N, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Cool, cool. I'll make sure to tag you and everything, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Honestly, college roommate, like, you my boy, Blue. We've went through some things. You my boy, Blue! You my boy! We've went through some things. I cannot wait to see this in 20 years, to be honest with you. I can't wait to hear this in 20 years. We're like, you remember that podcast we did in 2020? Dude, man, like, we may have to delete this, but I'm kidding. Hey, anything you want to leave anybody with?
Nah, man. I think if I were to leave anything with anybody, and I here and elsewhere, is that if you love yourself, you'll love others. But always treat yourself with that kind of respect and just be honest with yourself, man. And that will reflect upon others. Trust me.
Yeah.
It will reflect upon others.
Yeah. 100% agree, man. I'm going to leave you with a little JB so that you can understand what we're talking about as far as
intentions
go. All right, man. I'll talk with you later.
I'm out.
Peace, brother.
Later.
See ya.